introduce our first speaker, Charles.
Good afternoon, group. I'm Charles Thornton, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Charles.
And it's really, 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 really good for me to be here this evening. And I'm clean but for the grace of God. And I really look at this as an honor and a privilege, you know, to be here and to be amongst so many people who are striving to live this way of life. You know, I hesitated. I was going to say this new way of life, and it is a new way of life for me, but the reality for me today is that but for the grace of God, on June the 30th, I'll be coming up on my 19th year. And of course, I say that as a means of qualification, not as a means for a clap and a hand and all that's fine, but all the glory go to you people and the God of my understanding. You know I had very little to do with that. I just showed up. And when I showed up, you all told me how to stand up and gave me a direction. And as a direct result of that direction, I'm here today. You know, and that's I understand that it's God's grace. You know, it had a little to do with me. You know, one of the things that when I was asked to do this meeting, I had and they got some fantastic topics to talk about down here, you know, and this is my 19th, well, this is my 18th convention. You know, actually, maybe my 19th convention. But in any event, you know, and there's always some dynamite topics to speak on. And when I was asked to talk about In All Your Affairs, the first thing that I thought about was something is missing. You know, and that's from, you know, reading and just being a part of this thing, and it's a repetition. You know, for me anyway, you know, being around here, the amount of time I've been around here, you kind of pick things up. And generally, when people are talking about, you know, all your affairs, is generally led off with practicing these principles in all your affairs. You know, so I automatically, you know, went to that, you know, and in doing that, you know, I was, you know, I really wanted to just leave it alone and not give a whole lot of thought to it because I knew over a month and a half ago that I would be, you know, standing up here provided, you know the saying that, you know, the creek ain't rise and I was breathing. You know, it was a very good chance that I would be here. And I know one of the things that for me, you know, when I'm asked to do a meeting, if there's a little bit of time before that meeting, then I get in my head about what I'm going to say at that meeting. And the reality is that you never really say all that stuff you thought about saying. You know, what happens generally for me is that I pray and I ask God, you know, to his will to be done. You know, and I ask God to let someone in here get something out of what I'm saying today. Other than myself, you know, because generally, you know, just to be standing here, you know, living another day clean, you know, I'm getting something out of it. You know, for me, every day clean is a blessing. You know, I got the disease of addiction. You know, I came here with the disease of addiction. I don't find it necessary to use today. I've had a compulsion lifted up out of me. And I'm talking about an addiction, a real addiction. I'm talking about something that was, you know, physical, mental, and spiritual, something that was going on the inside of me that I had no control of, that I didn't find out about. I didn't realize I had until I got to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I thought I had a living problem, a money problem, and a whole lot of other issues, you know, and I must admit, though, drugs was a part of it, too, you know, but to get here and find out, you know, that I was a sick person and I was suffering from a disease, You know, that was, for me, that was a light bulb went off. A light bulb went off, you know. And when I showed up here, you know, a lot of y'all probably know the saying, I brought me with me. You know, when I got here, you know, everything that I had become as a result of that disease of addiction, everything that I had become came in the door with me, you know. And I don't have to go into all the graphics, and you all know, if you're in here, then there's a real good chance that you know what I'm talking about, you know. And so when I showed up here in that kind of shape, and I'm talking about the worst shape that I had ever been in throughout my whole existence, when I showed up here hurting, feeling less than, you know, lower than what they say, a footprint, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, beat down, you know what I mean, and had gone through some total, you know, just psychotic episodes through life. When I showed up here, you know, and you people were here to greet me close to 19 years ago with a hug and a smile, and was able to share with me that it's going to be all right. Just come on in, have a seat, and everything is going to be all right. That kind of lifted something up off of me that, you know, I know it's the grace of God, man. It's real simple. It's but for the grace of God for me, you know. Now, all of that behavior that I brought in here with me, you know, what I was advised was that we'll get an opportunity to address it. Just come on in, don't use, have a seat, and go to meetings. And I'm talking about what was shared with me and what worked for me and what has allowed me to be here today. You know, it was real simple messages. It was real simple things. It was, because, you know, quite honestly, you know, I wouldn't have been prepared, you know, for anything other than simple stuff. You know, if I had walked through the door, and I'm talking about me and my experience and what happened to me and for me, had I walked through the door when I came in the shape that I was in, and somebody put a book in my hand and a pencil and a piece of paper and told me go to work, I don't know if I would have been prepared for that. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that that don't work, so don't get it wrong. What I'm saying is that I wasn't a guy that come from a pencil, piece of paper, and a book background. And I was a guy who really didn't want to do no work, you know what I mean, prior to getting here. You know, matter of fact, you know, if I would have came to a place, you know, first thing would have came to my mind was school. And I ain't do well at that no how, you know. So, you know, but with any event, you know, one thing I found to be true is that, you know, God has a way of giving you exactly what you need. You know, and there are people that come through the door that need the book. I wasn't one of them. You know what I mean? What I needed was direction. You know, and I can say what I needed today because I'm looking back over what worked for me. So I know it's what I needed because it worked, because I'm still here. You know, I ain't got no real fantastic, glorified existence. You know, I'm just a guy that don't use, one day at a time, and my life keep getting better as a result of it. You know, real simple. You know, a little bit on the topic. You know, when I think about practicing principles, you know, the first thought came to me was, well, what are principles? what actually are we talking about here? You know, and for me, you know, as I began to look at the book, and as a result of sitting in meetings, when I began to go through the steps, what I found out for me, that there were principles involved in every step that I went through. You know, in the first step, you know, it was talking about surrendering to the disease of addiction. And for me, it was a principle involved in that. You know, what I had to do, first and foremost, was not use. You know what I mean? And through not using, things began to make a little bit more sense. You know, now, I didn't immediately recognize and understand that something was happening to me as a result of not using. You know, what happened was it took people to begin to point things out to me, what was going on for me. You know, I wasn't one who readily was able to see that just by not using a real simple thing, simple principle, if you may, you know, that, and it was a sponsor that told me this, you know, I had cut out 99.9% of the problem. 99.9% of the problem was gone just by me simply not picking up. You know, and the rest of it, I'll be able to deal with. You know, because my thing was using, like most of us in here, you know. And I'm one who, my whole day, everything was based on me getting, using, finding ways and means to get more. That's what I had become. That's how I lived my life. Everything was about getting high. You know, and just by not getting high, you know, I gave myself a chance and an opportunity. You know, and, you know, and as I kept on going, you know, somebody mentioned something to me about principles over personalities. Now, mind you, I had been here for a while before I was really able to key in on what, you know, what they were really trying to say. You know, one of the things, and I'm a guy, you know, prior to getting to Narcotics Anonymous, I spent a lot of years in different institutions, you know, and most of them were spent at Lawton, but I went to some other places too. And I brought a lot of that in here with me. And what I was working off of was the principles that I had picked up in a lot of them institutions, you know. And what I found out for me was that those principles don't work here. And those principles are not what they were talking about. I mean, I've seen more people, man, get caught up and busted up and twisted up, you know what I mean, and messed up over that saying, you know, that it was the principle that was involved. You know what I mean? So immediately, when I heard the word principle, I went back to that. You know, I went right back to Lawton and what I was taught in Lawton, you know, about what a principle is. You know what I mean? But, you know, coming in here, what I found out was that those are not the kind of principles that they're talking about. You know, what I found out in here, listening, going to them meetings and telling the truth about myself, you know what I mean, that they were talking about things like honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. You know, it ain't had nothing to do with that garbage that I brought up in here. What they were talking about in here was, can I get honest with Charles? Can I tell the truth about Charles? And am I willing to do that? You know, and it's through doing that that the relief come. You know, and the relief that I'm talking about is freedom, you know. And the freedom that I'm talking about is freedom from active addiction, you know. But the freedom goes a little bit farther than that, you know, because, you know, by not using, I can be blessed with the freedom from the active addiction, you know what I mean? But it's all them other things that I need to get free of, you know, in order for me to get the true freedom, the real freedom that you can get, you know, by not using a day at a time and practicing principles in your life. You know, and like I say, it started with the honesty, open-mindedness, and the willingness. You know, and it ain't easy. It ain't easy for a dope fiend to come in Narcotics Anonymous in the beginning to get honest with themselves. You know, and I lied to you all for a long time. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about getting honest with me. You know, getting honest about who I am and what I am and whose I am and where I'm trying to go and how much freedom do I really want. You know, I'm talking about getting honest with me, you know, telling the truth about me, you know, and getting real with how I felt about things. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, it was real easy for me to come in here and to hold my hand up and began to quote the lingo. You know, I was, you know, quoting the lingo at about the 6 month. You know, about less than a year, you would have thought I had about 10 years. You know what I mean? But the reality is that ain't how I felt on the inside. You know what I mean? That true freedom was still eluding me because I hadn't got honest with myself. And I hadn't got honest about how I felt on the inside, you know. You know, I'm the product of some real, 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 real good sponsorship and some real, 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 real good meetings. You know, it took me a whole year before I would even get a license because I've still had 1 foot out the door and 1 foot in. And the reason I would not get a license is because I wasn't sure that this program would work for me. You know, my sponsor at the time, he used to stay on me about, you know, getting a license and having some identification. But in the back of my mind, I wasn't sure that this program would work for me. And I was a guy that had a lot of aliases. And I didn't see no real sense in getting no license and being able to, you know, have my record ran. Because, you know, most guys like me, that's an automatic 7-day hold. I don't care what you've done, who you was with, or how long you've been clean. When they run that name through, it's a 7-day hold automatically. So, you know, it took time. You know, it took time, and it took a lot of commitment. You know, as I stayed here, I got the opportunity to practice some of this stuff that I was learning in this program. You know, one of the things that happened with me and for me early, you know, I got in service. And as a result of getting in service, I was on the H&I committee. And when I was with the H&I committee, I got an opportunity to carry meetings back to the institution where I spent a lot of time at, you know, Lawton, you know. And in doing that, there was a guy in Lawton, and I try not to, you know, hop on those institutions and all that stuff that went on in the streets and everything, but there was a guy that I had separation orders on the whole time I was in, you know, the institution. We had separation papers. This was a guy who, before I went into Lawton, you know, he had robbed me and beat me up really bad, you know. you know, busted my face up real bad and messed my nose up and pretty much left me for dead, you know. And that was only as a retaliation for what I had done to him, you know. So when we winded up in the same institution, we had separation papers. We couldn't be in the same institutions. And H and I ain't know that, you know. And when I carried one of the meetings back to Lawton, this guy was sitting in the crowd, you know. And he was in Lawton, and I was in the street. I was carrying the meeting, you know. And you know, something just came over me, you know. And I recognized then that this program was working for me. You know, now mind you, you know, I didn't go shake his hand, I didn't go hug him, you know what I mean? Because, you know, when we talking about practicing these principles, right, and we talking about all your affairs, you know, I was talking to a sponsor about this. We talking about living in society. You know what I mean? We're talking about practicing principles in society and living in society. You know, I was in an institution, and it was real uncomfortable because although I was doing what I needed to do for me, I really didn't know where he was at and where his mind was at. You know, so, you know, I was always taught not to be no fool. You know, but I do know and I believe that God is watching over top of me. You know, I believe that, I recognize that, and I understand that to be true. You know, so any event, you know, that wasn't the big deal. The as they say, acid test. The test came for me about 9 years later when I was sitting in my home group, and this same guy walked into my home group, the same guy that I had all of these, I got all these scars, current scars on, same guy that left me in my mother's living room bleeding to death, walked into the home group, same guy that I was separated from, that I had said, you know, this program is good, but if I see him anywhere, you know what I mean, it's going to be on, you know, and he walked into my home group close to 10 years later, and I was sitting on the front row, and he walked in there, you know, and now I had the opportunity to practice all of this stuff I was talking, you know what I mean, what you going to do now, you know, and I need not say to y'all, because I think y'all already know, because I'm still here, you know what I mean, what I did. And what God did for me was allow me to get up, to hug this man, and to tell this man that I'm here for you, man. You know, that I'm here for you. And that if you need me, I'm here for you. You know, and for me, you know, that's what practicing these principles are about. You know, it's real easy and it's real cushy, you know, to be in here and you know, to be able to practice this program amongst each other when there's, you know, no whole bunch of stuff going on, you know what I mean? But for me, when you're talking about in all your affairs, what I'm talking about is, you know, how am I doing, you know, on the job, you know, how am I able to practice this stuff at home? You know what I mean? How am I practicing these principles with my family? You know, with my friends and my associates, not just in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that was something that I had to learn how to do a day at a time, putting one foot in front of the other, and just using patience and tolerance and wanting to be different, wanting to be better. You know, I tell you, it's been a journey for me. You know, it's been a journey, and it's been a good journey. It's been a good journey, you know. And, you know, when you're talking about all your affairs, one of the things that was real prevalent early for me was that if you have a problem practicing these principles in any of your affairs, then you need to change your affairs. You know what I mean? It's something going on with the affairs that you're in. You know what I mean? It's something wrong with the people that you're around. You know what I mean? Correction, ain't something wrong. Something wrong with you for being around them. You know what I mean? And those were the things that, you know, were prevalent for me. You know, it wasn't until, you know, I was comfortable living this life, you know, and practicing what I was being taught, you know, and being able to walk this walk, you know, amongst anybody that I began to see that, you know, this thing worked, you know, make no mistake about it. And for me, you know, the proof is in the results. The proof is in the results. You know, people slowly began to move away from me, you know, because I'm not one who've always, you know, surrounded themselves with people who were practicing these principles, you know. And one thing I was able to do was to separate myself from what I know wasn't right for me. You know what I mean? And it's been a blessing. It's been more than a blessing. My life has been fine, you know. And one thing, you know, as I go through life, what I'm finding is that, you know, because I've learned a new way to live, because I live by principles now, so because I try to use these principles in all my affairs, that does not mean that there's not going to be some roadblocks in my life. There's going to be opportunities to practice this stuff. You know, I wasn't going to get into this. I'm going through a separation right now, you know, and that's where you have to practice this stuff at. Those are the affairs that they're talking about. Them are the affairs. How are you gonna act? You know what I mean? When you're in the midst of calamity and situations, you know. I think that, you know, I feel as though me and my wife, we ought to be able to deal with this, you know, amicably, you know, and I would like to think that, you know, after going on 9 years, that we would be able to, you know, peacefully deal with what we're going through. You know, and the reality is that, you know, for me anyway, you know, that ain't how separations work. You know, and no matter what I try to do, you know, in being and doing and practicing principles, and standing up for something and trying to treat someone the way that I would like to be treated, the reality is that there's a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lot of remorse, a lot of guilt. There's a whole lot of feelings that got to be dealt with, you know. And in doing that, it don't always come off, you know, cushy and nice and amicably, you know, and that's just life. That's just life. You know, the answer for me is to be able to go through that, you know what I mean, to deal with that a day at a time and still be able to come here, enjoy my day, enjoy life, get back to taking things one day at a time, don't get all bent out of shape. Don't misplace my anger. Don't let it screw into all of my other affairs. Don't be at work, you know what I mean, doing things that I know, you know, don't have nothing to do with the job. It's more how I feel about what's going on with my quote-unquote situation, you know what I mean? This is where you get the opportunity to practice this stuff. And those are the affairs that we're talking about. It's easy to practice principles, man, when things are going okay. You know what I mean? That's a given. If you know it, if you learned it, it's a given. But it's when the things are going on in your life. That's when, you know, the wheel hit the road, as they say. You know, but for me, all in all, man, it's been the best thing could ever happen for me. You know what I mean? To be able to continue to enjoy life the way that I have, and to be able to have a program, first of all, to be able to come from where I've come from, to have a program, you know, to have tools to use, you know what I mean, to have something to grab hold of, you know, so that I can, you know, continue to live peacefully, serenely, you know, that's the blessing for me. That's the blessing. You know, is at these times that, you know, I look to the books and I look to the steps and I reach out to my friends and I let people know what's going on with me so I can get all the support I need to make it to the next day without a drink and a drug. And I had to keep that real, real clear for me, you know, because, you know, that's what it's about. You know, I don't know if I hit on, you know, all of these affairs, you know what I mean? I don't know if I hit on a whole bunch of principles, you know, but what I do hope is that somebody heard something, you know what I mean? It's just one person. Then I think it's the job well done. Thanks for letting me share.
At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Brian.
Love you, buddy. My name's Ryan, and I'm an addict. I was hoping everybody believed and I wanted to share it all, but that didn't happen. I don't know, man, spiritual principles. You know, I was thinking about, I grew up in Baltimore. I live in the Virginia area today, but I remember, you know, as a kid going down to the barbershop in the neighborhood and, you know, stealing a razor out of the barbershop, right? And I remember going home, and by the time I got home, you know, the message had been delivered that, you know, he stole my razor, you know. And my father, you know, asked me, did I take the razor? And early on, man, I had the ability to look him dead in his eye and say, I didn't take it, you know. Then he asked me again, and I told him again I didn't take it. Now, mind you, no one was in that barbershop but me and the barber, right? So when he started asking me these questions, I didn't have the ability to be truthful about what I had just done. That type of thinking and behavior carried on into my adult life. I also have to share with you, too, that this program has done a lot for me. And I count myself truly blessed because I'm one of the addicts that came in the program early on and didn't stay. Got a few years clean, life changed, material things happened, and I didn't stick to the very things that kept me here. After about 3 or 4 years or so clean, you know, I used again. And I have to share for me again that I believe today part of that me going back into that was I did everything that I was not supposed to do. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about I stopped going to meetings. I stopped sharing with my sponsor. I didn't have any connection whatsoever with anybody in Narcotics Anonymous. I truly started to believe that I knew what I was doing. And it's interesting, too, what backed me in the corner, and it wasn't the reason why I used, because that was a conscious choice of my own, but I was in a relationship. And when the bugaboos of the defects that are part of my character, that insecurity that I feel at times, that feeling less than I feel at times, that I'm not good enough that I feel sometimes, all that stuff started to kick in again. And for me, what happened is it got to the point, and it talks about it somewhere in our literature, that you can actually get yourself so caught up in these feelings that you revert back to what you normally do if you don't seek the help to get past where you are. And that's what happened for me. I got to that point, and all I needed was one person to say that I had something. And when I'm talking about something, I'm talking about anything that I could use. For me, that was my connect, you know, and that's what I did. Also have to share with you, too, in that process of using again, our literature talks about it being a progressive disease. I'm one of them individuals that went through the whole thing. I went through the non-alcoholic beer back up to the crack, and it went in progression for me. I went from non-alcoholic to beer to liquor to marijuana to snorting and smoking once again, and that's what I did. And when I finally got I got into treatment after all of that, again, the old bugaboos were still there, because when I got in treatment, the individual asked me during my assessment, had I been in here before? I told him no. Now, I told him no because, see, the guilt, the shame, all that was still kicking. It was alive in me, and it was ruling my life. So I'm in here trying to get some help, but the very help is right there for me. I don't want it because of how I'm trying to save my face. See, I felt like I had failed in my life, in this program, in everything else, because I used it. But we have a chapter now in our basic text that talks about recovery and relapse. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, and thank God for basic text. I understand today that no matter what I go through, whatever I need, if I pick up that book, I can find some answers to it. Not only that, I can have a face-to-face conversation with one of you people if I share with you openly and honestly about how I feel and what's going on with me. My situation, my sponsor like to tell me, may not change, but see, I have to change my situation, and that's what I try to do today. And it's not an easy haul. And what I find when in all our affairs, it's real easy for me to get these principles, start trying to practice them in my life, and then I take that one of those principles of honesty, or one of those principles like the hit on is that self-righteousness piece. Because see, all of a sudden now I got a little time under my belt. I'm doing things well. And then when someone, and for me, it's always someone outside of the room of Narcotics Anonymous. So I kind of touched on them working with in society. See, with you guys, I'm a little more honest, I'm a little more straightforward, but when the folks that are outside that I got to deal with on a regular basis, see, when I hear things from them, all of a sudden in me, there's this self-righteous person that comes alive and starts to thinking, well, you need a program. You're not working any principles. You know, I'm at a point now where I'm at a stage in that interaction where I've forgotten, you know, what it took for me to get here. I've forgotten that I was sitting on a sofa in a subleased apartment with a TV that had a hanger as an antenna, no food in my refrigerator, about three or four boxes or little cups of oodles or noodles, and that was my meal. I forget that I was sitting there feeling lonely, feeling alone, feeling lost, feeling like I had no way out, that my life was just fell apart. See, if I forgot about all that, you know, but for the grace of God, the God of my understanding worked through my job that sent the police officer to my subleased apartment. And I keep saying subleased because if you don't understand, that means it wasn't mine. It means belonging to somebody else, I was subleasing it. I had the key only because he wasn't there. You know what I mean? So he came, and that's when my help came. And that happened in March of 2003. And I've been there ever since. And this road to recovery this time has been so much different than the first time. I understand when I look back at my story that I have not arrived. I don't know everything to do. You know, I've been given an opportunity. I've been given a second chance at a second chance, you know, so to speak. And I've been trying to ride with that since I've been here. And it hasn't been an easy road. You know, this again, things happen, you know, in recovery. The material stuff started to come again. But, you know, for me, it had a different appeal for me this time around, because I know that I'm an addict that I use again when life gets raggedy for me, or if I don't stick to this program and share with you people what's going on with me and seek the help that I need when I'm in the positions that I'm in. This program has done a lot for me since I've been here, and I talk about what it's done for me because it's important for me to remember these things, not so much that it puts me above anything or anyone else. It just shows me if I stick to what this program has to offer me, there's no limit to how far I can go. And that's what's important to me or for me when it comes to those type of things. I mean, I'm an addict that came in here on IRS, on child support, you know, credit rating of about 200, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't even call for credit. They probably just knew I was calling and just hung up the phone. You know, that's how bad it was, you know. But what I did, it was because of what you people told me and how you guided me through this, I started to do some things. I started to change the way that I thought about things. I started to apply myself into my situation instead of what I normally do for most of my life was run away from my situation. I was one of them guys that always thought if I ran far enough, it would just fix itself, you know. One thing I did learn from that time of using again to today and being in recovery, and I truly believe this, if you don't address your issues, at some point your issues will address you. And that's what happened for me. I didn't do anything. I just went with the loving things that came along and thought everything was okay. But I had not done any work. You know, and I always talk about this in relation to the principles and working with the steps, because I believe, as it's been kind of told, that in order for me to get to that point of really trying to get involved and work with some principles, there are certain steps I have to take in order to get down to there. I'm not the type of addict that came right in the rooms and all of a sudden I'm this wonderful, loving individual. You know, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I want things, but I don't know how to get it. You know, I'm envious because I'm going to be honest with you. Coming in this program, I was envious and jealous of some of you because of what you had, and I wanted to have it. And in my mind, I felt I was supposed to have it. See, I had an attitude of entitlement. You know what I mean? Certain things are supposed to come to me. And my entitlement issues were really based on the things that had happened in my childhood. So I figured since I got past all that, I deserved to have certain things. So when I came into this program, I saw you guys and what you had. It was like, this is what I want to get. My disease, and it started to manifest itself in different ways. See, my disease took me to buying 10, 15 pair of jeans trying to keep up with you guys. You know what I mean? My disease took me to buying jewelry trying to stay within the realm of what you guys were doing. What I found out was that wasn't recovery. You know what I mean? I was rushing what God had intended for me that I was going to get down the road, but it wasn't at this time that I was supposed to get it. What I was supposed to do was look at that 200 score you got, look at that IRS bill you got, look at that relationship that you formed with your family, look at what you've done. We go back a little bit. I was a thief. Let me tell you about that. I stole. You know, I was one of the guys that got good jobs in retail stores. I'd steal out the register. I'd key in stuff saying that it was in there and it wasn't. I'd take the cash, and that's how I got high every night. And see, what that did for me, it allowed me to be the big guy at night when I went home because I was the one that had all the money. The money ain't last that long, but I had it when I got there. You know what I mean? I was just like everybody else at the end of that night trying to find another hit. You know, trying to find out, thinking maybe I left some money in the car somewhere. You know, searching all through the car. Knowing good, well, you ain't got nothing left. You know what I mean? That's just like me thinking I got another hit somewhere. I don't save crack. I don't save money. You know what I mean? That's just not what I do. But in my mind, I'm thinking this maybe. See, I got hope. I got hope that maybe something's there, but it wasn't the case. You know, but being here today, man, I don't think in those terms anymore. Now, it's not to say that I don't go off to the left sometime, but I do. But most importantly, what I don't do is I don't use. I don't pick up a drink or a drug, even when the situation seems so bad. The issues that I had, we worked through them. It took about 4.5 years or so to get to a point to get that kind of straight. But what I found out, too, is if I don't stay locked in and keyed into what got me there, I can repeat that stuff and be clean with that stuff happening in my life. I can get bad credit again clean. You know what I mean? I can overspend and clean. I can use people clean. You know what I mean? It doesn't, I mean, Charles hit on it, it doesn't negate me from going back to some of my old behaviors just because I stopped using a drug or a drink. This life of putting these principles in all my affairs is something I have to do on a constant basis. I'm not an individual. I'm not lucky enough to be able to take a break from recovery. I wish I could, but I just don't have that luxury. You know what I mean? Just to take you a little bit to that, Charles kind of hit on that relationship piece, and I was thinking about, you know, I'm in a relationship, right? I haven't been in one in a while, right? Got into one, though. Went through a little period of cleansing, so much thought, you know, of, I said, well, am I getting any relationships? Am I having sex with a woman? Da, 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 da. I did these things. I did it for about a year and 10 months. One day, I slept with this young lady. Got some feelings behind it, you know what I mean? Because she wanted something that I knew I wasn't willing to give, but I wasn't concerned about how she felt or what she wanted. It was all about what I wanted to get out of this time that we spent. I wanted to feed my flesh because I hadn't slept with a woman in about a year and 10 months, so I thought I was due, you know? And I did that, and I got some feelings behind that, right? But what I found out about this disease, and it manifests itself in all kinds of ways, because once I did that with that individual, see, I wanted some more, but I didn't want it with her. I wanted it with another woman. And I went when I did that. I found someone else, slept with her as well. Got the same feeling, right? You know? Then I got to the point where, okay, I didn't like the way I was feeling. And we're talking about, you know, practice principles on all my affairs. Because, see, what I found out was my disease was up front. Because I know our literature talked about how do I know when my disease is dictating? My self-centeredness starts to kick in. And it becomes all about me. And that's what was going on with the relationships. It was all about me. I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it, and how you felt about it was no concern of mine, you know. So I go on this little, after all that, I go on another little sabbatical, right? The relationship I'm in now, I'm in this relationship, this woman that's, okay, let me say this. Be careful what you pray for, all right? Let's do that. And lovely lady, everything's cool. You know, got some serious feelings for her and so on and so forth. But you know what happens with me, with her sometime, which I really need to be working on, is, see, we'll talk about her past sometime. And when she starts to talk about her old boyfriends, see, that jealousy starts to kick in with me. Then I get a little envious about, you know, what they may have done and what I haven't done. And then I start to feel a little inadequate, thinking that maybe, you know, they had some things that I didn't have. So what that does, it causes me to kind of lash out on her, or not even lash out on her, but it puts these thoughts in my mind that all of a sudden now, maybe she isn't the one that I thought I wanted, you know. Again, I'm talking about me going back into that state of my mind where now I'm the self-righteous individual. I work a program in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm working on some principles. If you had done those things in your life, then I wouldn't be dealing with your past as you have presented it to me, because I don't like what you have done. I think you should have been on a sabbatical for the last 10 years, right? You should have been waiting on me, you know what I'm saying, for the last 10 years. You should have kept yourself straight so we could share with each other how it is to be on the righteous path so we can have this wonderful relationship, okay? And what I'm finding, it's not her. It's me. And what I'm finding, too, is these spiritual principles that we talked about and working these principles in all our affairs, I'm trying to readjust them and make them fit what Ryan wants it to be. And Ryan is getting some, mine don't have a whole lot of peace with that, okay? But you guys have taught me, though, man, not to quit, not to give up. And my primary purpose is to stay clean. one thing I will not do, based on God willing, based on a relationship or how I feel using it. If it gets to a point where I feel I can't deal with how I'm feeling, and if it means walking away from that very thing that I think I love, then I would have to do that. Not only that, by practicing the principles on my affairs, what I'm trying to do here is, why would I want to keep someone in a relationship in which I'm going to cause them pain to be in it? See, I can get selfish like that. I want you to stay until I get me together. You know what I mean? And no matter how bad it is for you, how devastating it is for you, how screwed up your life becomes, I want you to stay there. You know what I mean? These principles tells me that that's not how I'm supposed to be living. These principles tells me that if that's the case, you need to let that woman go. Because obviously there's someone that God has intended for her, and maybe you're not it. You know, and then then having to accept that maybe you aren't the one. You know what I mean? And he may have someone else for you, but in order for me to move to there, I got to do what was right here. And I got to look at that, and I got to look at me. She's not in recovery. She gets on my nerves sometimes, asks me 8,000 questions about recovery, like I'm some freaking guru or something. But I'm like, you know, I'm grateful, though, that there is someone that takes an interest in my life, in my recovery. You know what I mean? Someone that is not judging me based on what I've done in my past. Believe me, I judge me enough on what I've done in my past. I really need somebody else to do that with me or for me. This program, man, it's some work. And I find today, like I said, I have to be careful when it comes to working with these spiritual principles or practicing these principles in my affairs. Because like I said before, it's very easy for me to get on that pompous stage where, you know, I know better than you do. You know what I mean? That's one reason why I come to meetings, why I go to meetings. Because, see, when I go to meetings, I hear how it really is. I find that, you know, Ryan, you're not that great I am as you might think or want to be. I find that I, too, suffer from a disease of addiction in which, you know, I can go anywhere with this disease. I can get so caught up in living in a negative life that thing becomes a way of life for me. You know, I can get caught up in thinking everything is great and life is wonderful and I do all the right things to the point where I become, again, the great I am, and everyone else is like second to me. It's not very hard for me to fall in those patterns, but I have to stay here. My sponsor taught me a long time ago. See, when you guys started talking about patterns, I was like, what the fuck do you mean patterns? You know what I mean? I don't know patterns. But as I look at, you know, how I live and what I do, I definitely have certain patterns, certain things that I do on a consistent basis. And sometimes I am in such denial about what I do, I can't see me screwing up. You know, and that's why I need you people, because I need you to tell me what I'm doing. Because leave it up to me, you know, I haven't done anything wrong. You know I'm a wonderful and nice guy and all that kind of crap, right? So, you know, it's a matter of taking the time, finding out what getting into what these principles are, having an understanding of this program. And I think for me, that helps me to a day at a time, you know, to move forward. It hasn't been easy. And like I said, I've gotten some things, but I will say this, though. Everything that I've gotten, I've gotten my first home. I went back to school, got a bachelor's, I got a master's. I'm working on a doctorate degree right now. I'm back in the government, which I thought I would never get back into. All these things have happened. But I will say this, though. Everything that I just mentioned will fit into a stem about that big, and I will smoke it all up. You know what I'm saying? I will definitely smoke it all up. So it would behoove me to stay humble, stay in a state of humility so that I can maintain what I have. And, you know, if it's God's will that more will come, then it will, and I'm sure that it will. The question is, whatever he has for me, am I willing to do the work to be prepared to have it and to receive it. I know I'm one of the individuals to start out always asking for things, but I'm finding out today, though, that everything that I ask for, maybe I'm not always ready to have it, and I got to let that thing go. So I think I'm done, okay? And I appreciate this committee, I mean, just asking me to come. I mean, I was like on pins and needles just to even talk to you guys. I'm comfortable at home with people I know. Some of you guys I don't know. So I'd like to thank the God of my understanding this committee for allowing me to share today, and I'll keep coming back.
Okay, we're going to close the meeting with the serenity prayer.